The Lone Ranger and Tonto are in trouble, deep trouble, hiding behind a boulder with the Apaches everywhere. "Well, Tonto," says the Lone Ranger, "we're surrounded by hundreds of Apaches. It looks as though we've had it." To which Tonto replies, "What do you mean, we, Paleface?" Sometimes listening to the talk about the church, you think, we've had it, that we're done, that we're outnumbered by the forces ranged against us, overwhelmed. What chance have we got in this world, surrounded by so much unbelief, indifference and sin? Elisha's companions feel that sense of impending doom as they face the massed ranks of the enemy forces appearing on the hillside, like the old cinema cliché of the Sioux circling menacing and terrible, while the white settlers huddle for shelter behind the pathetically inadequate protection of their covered wagons, hurriedly drawn round in a circle. Threat, danger, menace, defeat, all staring down at them from the hilltop, the overwhelming forces that must surely sweep them into oblivion. A variation of that in that other classic movie, Zulu. Tens of thousands of Zulu warriors appear over the horizon to attack the little group of British soldiers at Rock's Drift. The young soldier, as he sees the sheer weight of the enemy numbers, his knees turn to jelly. But by his side stands the experienced, rugged Sergeant Major. "Steady, lad," he says. "Steady." Elisha, looking out at the hunting party that's been sent to kill him, says to his friends, "Steady, lads. Steady. It looks grim, it looks impossible, but..." Elisha, the man of God, affirms, "Don't be afraid. We have more on our side than they have on theirs." And he points them to the distance and shares with them his glorious vision of the army of God, the host of heaven around them. They have greater resources than they think. The armies of God are all around them. And yes, they're surrounded, but with the majesty of heaven. This little drama in which they find themselves caught up is being played out against a far wider backcloth of God's power and purpose. "Don't be afraid. We have more on our side than they have on theirs." Just as Christ, carried off in chains in the garden, declares that his Father could send 12 legions of angels to his rescue, he was not alone. So the church needs to recall the power that is with us, the truth that indeed we are part of something international, global and cosmic. The church needs to keep recalling, to repeat an important truth, that the task before us is never greater than the power behind us. Again and again we need to strengthen ourselves with Elisha's words, "Steady lads, steady lasses, don't be afraid, we have more on our side than they have on theirs." That goes for our basic philosophy, that we have more right values than the ugly forces that seek to enslave, degrade and destroy. Our commitment is to beauty and truth and love, wholeness, creativity, peace, healing, and these are ideals. That whatever occasional events may indicate, whatever temporary trends may seem to suggest, these are values that are enduring, eternal and in the end victorious. And we can be proud to give allegiance to them. Hate, lies, resentment, brokenness, these will never prevail against the kinds of values to which we commit our loyalty. That is what our faith teaches us so powerfully, and Easter especially, for they brought the worst, they did their worst, they battered the Christ until he was unrecognisable, and they tried everything to break his heart and destroy his spirit of love. But Easter morning reveals the unshakable power of love, the clear victory of Christ's way is affirmed by God, and indicates for us the simple wisdom of following his way, choosing to serve his values, pledging our love to that Lord, for in our heart we know that the world might fall away into ruin, destruction and chaos, but love will always conquer hate, truth will always defeat lies, and reconciliation will always be more beautiful than brokenness. So don't be afraid. There are more with us than those who are against us. When we consider the state of the church today and the counsels of doom and defeatism so often given, we might feel in danger of sliding into disillusionment and despair. No one goes to church these days. There's never enough money to do the work. Church membership is falling. Need I go on? But of course we need to get the global picture here when we talk about the church. And the global picture suggests that the church is growing worldwide with a staggering, breathtaking speed and energy. Hardly a month goes by without the Bible societies sending out an appeal for money to buy Bibles by the million for Eastern Europe or China or South America. There's a crying hunger for Bibles as the church, in places where it used to be crushed and wounded but was not destroyed, now rejoices in the freedom to preach, evangelise and study, and is getting on apace with that work. The Sunday of the General Assembly is always for me the best night, when the delegates from the World Church speak. A man from Malawi says thank you to Scotland, Chinese, Australian, Indian, South American, Korean and Christians. All declare the international facts of the church's growth. Don't be afraid. Those who are with us out there are more than we might imagine. And the wider picture back in Britain is also one that sheds new light on things. I recall coming back from a conference of those involved in religious broadcasting that I'd seen from all over Britain, committed Christians involved in sharing the good news. It was great to be with them. They were so alive and alert and committed, and all coming from churches that are alive, alert and committed. Don't be afraid. There are more soldiers in the army of God than we might appreciate. A symbol of that reality is the huge explosion in Christian music of all flavours. And we are able on a Wednesday to get a flavour of that, an important signal to the church and to the world, that we make sure we don't get despondent or afraid, but encouraging us instead to feel part of something ongoing, growing and positive. I've visited many churches where there was only a handful of people, and in that setting, Sunday by Sunday, it might be a real danger to lose the larger picture, the bigger framework. In all those places, I long to transport them with me to one of those great Christian events that happen throughout the year at Murrayfield or at Hampden Park or Celtic Park, and to see the hand of God there, his power to change lives still. Take them to that wonderful experience of a General Assembly in full voice. In the words of the Duke of Wellington as he reviewed his troops, "I don't know about the French, but they scare the living daylights out of me. I don't know about the forces ranged against the church, but when I feel the reverberations of the men and women of the General Assembly singing their hearts out from their hearts, I feel the hairs rise in the back of my neck. I feel firmer and stronger in my footsteps and the faith inspired." Or go to the concert hall in Glasgow when 2,500 people are turned away from a service of prayer because the place was full. Let's not forget what's going on out there and what God is doing with his people and among his people. How many of his people there are for him to do it with. This is not a lonely little bark on the angry sea, but the majestic fleet of God's people, strong and sure, people in our congregation from across the world, can reassure us of the power of the gospel to change lives and to fill churches with faith-filled people. Now, I'm not suggesting that we go into some kind of unbecoming empty triumphalism, but direct our thoughts to the truth that this is bigger than us, bigger than we are in our small corner. We need to be open to all the opportunities to glimpse and experience the spirit-stirred and spirit-stirring moments that confirm us in our faith as we understand the bigger picture. In the letter to the Hebrews, we see the perspective winding out still further. The writer tells the bruised and persecuted Hebrew Christians to recall the tradition in which they stand in the midst of the cruel pressures of their crisis, the great saints of the past who are part of the life and witness of the church along with us and who stand ranged alongside us, mingling their hymns with ours and giving powerful inspiration to our sometimes faltering commitment. So we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, the apostles with their vision and faith, the brilliant intellects of the early fathers of the church who shaped the church's thinking, and from the furnace of controversy snatched the essence of the faith in its refined purity. The simple monks whose holy life reminds us of the simplicities of the faith. The fiery, disruptive courage of Luther and Knox and Calvin, the heart-stopping courage of the Scottish Covenanters, the missionaries who left everything and gave up everything to take the gospel around the world. All around us shines the light of these witnesses, and we can't help but draw inspiration, power and resolve from their remarkable example. And their message to us is, steady lads, steady lasses. We have more on our side than they have on theirs. And God is on our side. There's a phrase that's been knocked about a bit. yet we claim it for the church nonetheless. And like Elisha, we see ranged around us the fiery chariots and the horses of the hosts of heaven, for in following Jesus Christ, we know we serve the will of the God who said, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." Well, we listened, and we're still listening. And God is with us in our struggle to witness and work for his kingdom. He gives us the power surges of his Spirit when we tremble. "Don't be afraid, I will never leave you nor forsake you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness." Yes, like the pioneers hunched behind the wheels of their covered wagons, we are surrounded. But look with vision and imagination, with faith, out on the hills. Look with Elisha and see the hillside covered with horses and chariots of fire. The church universal, marching with us step by step. The church glorious and triumphant, singing every line of every hymn with us. The mighty power of God, the host of heaven around us, beside us, beneath us, above us, glorious and strong. And in, with, and under everything we face, encounter and struggle with, God himself. We are surrounded all right. And in him, we are not afraid.